think about great flavor combinations, things that go together naturally. Some standbys might leap to mind of peanut butter and jelly, pork and beans. But our next guest will take us on a much wider journey of flavor combos. How about maple syrup and fennel or sesame and chocolate? We'll get some recommendations for new imaginative pairings to try, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What are some of the best but maybe also unusual food pairings you've come across or come up with yourself? What's a food or flavor you can't stand by itself, but partner it up with just the right thing? You can't get enough of it. What makes a great flavor pairing in your opinion? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Nikki Segnet is the author of Lateral Cooking and The Flavor Thesaurus. Her latest book, just out this week, is called The Flavor Thesaurus, More Flavors, Plant-Led Pairings, Recipes, and Ideas for Cooks. Nikki, welcome to Central Time.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Now, for people who aren't familiar with the premise of your original Flavor Thesaurus book, this is not your standard issue cookbook with recipes that we have to follow to the letter. What is it that you're setting out to do with your Flavor Thesaurus of combos?
Well, what I wanted to do was make a book about why flavors work together and to give a kind of a broad range of ideas of what we might try. So a lot of the book is it's classic combinations, but there's also lots of kind of interesting things or things that are borrowed from other cultures. And it all comes together in, I think both books have about just under 1,000 pairings each. And the back will give you a quick reference list. So if you've got something in your fridge that you want to use up, you can just have a look at that and it gives you a list of things. But then each one has a page reference and you can turn to the front and you'll get an elaboration on that pairing. It might tell you something interesting. It might give you a recipe. It might just give you some slightly off the wall tidbit of information.
One of the things you're hoping to accomplish, apart from inspiring us to try cool flavor combinations, is cut back on food waste. So if we've got a little bit of ingredient X that we had left over from that one recipe, we could look it up in the book and see what things go with it and throw something together. Is that kind of how you cook at home?
I mean, it completely is, or it's a lot more how I wanted to cook when I set out to write the first one, because it was just happening to me all the time, because all the cooking that I was doing was led by recipes and recipe books. I didn't know how to kind of freestyle. So I wanted to kind of teach myself, but also in teaching myself, help other people understand kind of what they might do with half a packet of French beans or, you know, some lentils that are sitting in the back of the cupboard. And I don't know about in where you are, but here in the UK, food prices have gone crazy. And it's just more useful than ever not to throw anything away.
In this new book now, you're focusing more on plant-led pairings. You say, is that a vegan book? Not even necessarily intended to be a vegetarian book. But what led you to want to tackle the plant world of flavors in particular?
Well, simply that when I wrote the first book, and it was quite a hit straight away. It started to sell a lot of copies. And I was doing events and people were coming up to me and saying, oh, I wish you'd included zucchini. I wish you'd included this. I wish you'd done lentils. And just about everything that people wanted me to write about, they'd be plants. There were lots of gardeners who had gluts of things. There were people who were shopping in the market who would find that, you know, there were things on offer that they wanted to use. And that was mainly plants. The only thing that I hadn't covered already, I mean, there's all the meat and fish that's in the other book, in the first book. There was only duck that I hadn't covered. And much as I like duck, it would have been kind of strange to write about 91 ingredients and one type of meat. It just wouldn't seem right. So anyway, it just seemed like a really interesting way of understanding a bit more about plants is to make it plant-led. And like you say, it's not a vegan book or a vegetarian book, but it's definitely plant-forward.
Now, you've got a recipe for us, even though, again, the book isn't mostly recipes. It's in French. I'll give it a shot. Tarte au sucre. We've got this at WPR.org/Food Friday. Now, the pairing, this combination, maple syrup, I love maple syrup, and fennel. I have mixed feelings about fennel. Talk about the combination of those two flavors, please.
Well, this might be an interesting one for you to try, because actually it uses quite a small amount of fennel.
Okay.
Because one of the things that is interesting to me about writing about maple syrup is, A, it has an incredible flavor, and it has so much flavor that maple syrup has its own flavor wheel. And so it makes it an interesting ingredient and quite an easy ingredient to write about. But here in the UK, maple syrup is very expensive. And so you don't want to pair it with anything that undermines the beauty of the maple syrup itself. And one of the flavors that maple syrup, particularly the darker sort, has naturally is fennel. So I made a tart, which is based on, it's Canadian French, actually, isn't it? Tarte au sucre, sugar tart. And I made it based on a very kind of old English treacle tart recipe. And it's mainly just maple syrup and breadcrumbs in a tart case, but with just a tiny bit of fennel on the top. And all it does is it picks up on the natural fennel flavor in the syrup, but it adds a tiny bit of freshness that stops all that kind of sweetness becoming too much. You know, you get to a point where actually the palate gets a bit tired of things that are very, very sweet. And the fennel just, it's like opening a window a little bit in a hot room.
I've got something like that. And Wisconsin, Nikki, I don't know if you know, makes the best maple syrup in the world. You can ignore the Canadians and Vermonters and things like that. I came across a drink some time ago that had maple syrup and lemon in it. Now I use that in a lot of cocktails and mocktails. And that is that doing the same kind of premise there you just mentioned, you know, having something a little tangier, a little sharper to go along with that sort of potentially cloying flavor of maple syrup?
I mean, it absolutely would. The only problem for me is we have a product here called Golden Syrup. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. I've never seen it for sale
in
the States.
I did in your book.
You heard it in the book. Yeah. I mean, I've never seen it for sale in the States, but it's a byproduct of the sugar refining process. And it's got a really nice flavor. It's got like a toffee flavor with a kind of citric note to it. And that's what we use for that kind of tart a lot of the time, but it's a quarter of the price. So when I tried maple syrup with lemon, it tasted so much like golden syrup, and it kind of slightly undermines a lot of the natural beauty of the maple syrup. I'm not saying it's not nice, but you know, if you can get golden syrup, you might be able to do the job for less of your dollars.
We're talking to Nikki Segnet on this edition of Food Friday. She's the author of the book Lateral Cooking, and she has the Flavor Thesaurus. Her new book is an expansion on the Flavor Thesaurus, more flavors, plant-led pairings, recipes, and ideas for cooks. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What two flavors to you are, if I can steal from the commercials, two great tastes that taste great together? What is a favorite pairing that you like to bring together, even either within one dish or drink, or two different dishes in the same meal? Is there something that you like combined together that other people look and you say, what now? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We heard from James on the Facebook page. Nikki, this is interesting. A vanilla ice cream. Now, you talk a lot about vanilla in the book. And sriracha, that I don't know if this is big in the UK, but you know sriracha, the hot pepper sauce. Yeah. You've got a vanilla and I think peppercorn combo in there. What's the idea behind combining a vanilla and something a little spicy?
Well, I mean, the thing is, the vanilla ice cream, we're so used to it as a kind of almost like a neutral background, and it's got sugar and it's got fat. So it kind of has a bit of magic to it. It tends to make things, you know, everything tastes kind of nice. I have not tried it with sriracha. That is a new one on me, but I always say never, and I will give it a go. With the vanilla and peppercorn in the book, that is often that's being paired in ways like using a vanilla fudge, and it's just using the peppercorn to give a bit of heat and a bit of kind of slight woodiness. So if you actually taste, I mean, we don't really often think about what black pepper tastes like. We just kind of grind it on and maybe kind of just kind of accept what it is. But actually, if you really taste it, it's got quite a strong pine flavor to it, a bit pine, you know, of the wood pine, and a tiny bit of fruitiness to it. So I think that added to a vanilla, it kind of takes the vanilla natural flavor and just broadens it out a bit. It's quite a natural pairing. You wouldn't necessarily know where one starts and one stops.
And now here, you know, sometimes we use vanilla as a slang for boring, right? Or bland. And if I'm reading you right, Nikki, you don't agree with that assessment. You see a lot of use and a lot of range for vanilla.
I mean, it's definitely not bland. It is, I mean, I think the reason that we use it in that way, in that kind of calling things vanilla, is just because vanilla is so ubiquitous. People like it so much. And they, because we associate it with the flavor of ice cream, our brain kind of brings that ice cream or cake, you know, it brings that association with it. So when we taste things that have got vanilla in them, which is a surprising number of things that you wouldn't expect to have vanilla in them, then we naturally feel warmer towards it, like it a bit more, because it's pinging something in our brain, even if that's at a subconscious level.
It's Food Friday. We're talking to author Nikki Segnet about her new book, The Flavor Thesaurus: More Flavors, Plant-Led Pairings, Recipes, and Ideas for Cooks. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question for our guest about combinations of flavors? Are her pairing ideas so far giving you some inspiration? Do you cook this way? Hey, I think this is going to taste good with that, and I'm going to wing it without a recipe. And do you have a favorite combination of flavors that's your go-to for a meal or a dessert? Does it strike other people as odd until they try it? After they try it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with author Nikki Segnet on this edition of Food Friday. Her new book is called The Flavor Thesaurus: More Flavors, Plant-Led Pairings, Recipes, and Ideas for Cooks. She has a zillion combos, plus or minus, of flavor combinations and how they work, why they work together. You could join in with your favorites at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller. Kathy is with us in Oak Creek. Kathy, hi.
Hey, Rob. So I like to put peanut butter. I like the natural kind with no sugar, and the pizza peppers, those little pepper flakes that you put in your pizza.
Uh-huh.
And I stir that in the peanut butter, and then I like to put raw onion on there. It sounds really weird, but it's really good, and especially on a bagel.
It doesn't sound weird to me, Kathy. I use peanut butter sometimes on savory kind of sandwiches myself. What first led you to try that?
I was looking for something healthier than peanut butter and jelly.
Kathy, thank you so much. Now, peanut butter, I think in your book, your new book, Nikki, makes just a guest appearance. This is the word I'm looking for. But peanut sauce and peanut butter on savory things, it shows up in a lot of cuisines around the world. Kathy's ideas are not so weird there, are they?
That's right. I mean, peanut is in the first book, so that one covers a whole load of things that aren't necessary in the new one. I think that when I was writing the first Flavor Thesaurus, there was this thing going around where people used to say bacon goes with everything. And that might be true to the people who eat bacon, but there's a lot of people who don't eat bacon. And the thing that really does seem to go with everything is peanuts and peanut butter. I mean, you will see it in just all sorts of guises. And when I do things like this and phone-ins, it's nearly always peanut butter that comes up as something that people like to have with something that sounds quite unusual. So obviously there's peanut butter with like burger pickles, dill pickles. I don't know what you call them there. Peanut butter with mint leaves.
Interesting. And yeah, Kathy had peanut butter and onions, which I had thought of. Peanut butter with lime mixed in can make a great sauce. What is it about peanut butter? Why is it so versatile?
Well, I think the thing is that peanuts, particularly, you know, if you've got some that you're going to add a little bit of salt, they've got, again, they're salty, they're fatty, they've got a lot of flavor because we're talking about peanuts that have been roasted. We're not talking about the raw sort. And the roasting process brings up loads of flavor in them. So it makes them kind of, it gives them, if you'll forgive me, it gives them a slight meatiness, it gives them richness, it gives them roasted flavors and stuff, all things that we find as just, you know, as human animals, very, very tasty indeed. And I think, you know, there is that idea as well that when something is very tasty and also feels quite healthy to us, it makes it taste even better.
Thanks a lot for that call, Kathy. Nancy joins us now in Milwaukee. Nancy, hi.
Hello. I'd like to tell you that I drink a lot of chocolate whey protein powder or chocolate plant protein powder, and quite often I mix it with some milk, but I do find that when I mix it with apple juice, it is just wonderful. that, that you have the full rich chocolate flavor, but you have the tang of the apple. It is just a marvelous drink, and you're getting this protein without having to cook something.
Nancy, thanks a lot for that call. So, of course, chocolate and milk, I think we think of as a common pairing. What about that chocolate and, in this case, apple juice or apples, Nikki? Is that a combo you've looked at?
It is a combo I've looked at because we have a really famous chocolate here that people buy at Christmas called a chocolate orange. And it's the shape of an orange and it falls into segments. And before there was the chocolate orange, there was the chocolate apple. Now, the difference was is that the chocolate apple wasn't flavored apple. It was just the shape. The thing is with chocolate is it's going to, as a rule, it's going to really flatten out an apple's flavor because apple, you know, you're not going to get it, it won't peak through the chocolate flavor so much. So what I think you're getting is you're getting a kind of, if you like, generic fruity tang that comes through that might be nice, might lighten up the chocolate some, but you're not necessarily going to be able to tell, you know, it's not like the kind of combination where you'd be able to tell what kind of apple it was, whether it was a red apple or whether it was a very tangy apple. You just get, you know, you just get sort of fruitiness, really.
Nancy, thanks a lot for sharing that with us. It's Food Friday. We're talking to Nikki Segnett about her new book, The Flavor Thesaurus, More Flavors, Plant-Led Pairings, Recipes, and Ideas for Cooks. Nikki, a very timely thing. People are planting their gardens here in Wisconsin, as I did. And in about 2-3 months, the most common online search term will be zucchini recipe or what to do with zucchini or how to safely dispose of zucchini. You've got a section on zucchini in the new book. What goes with the flavor of zucchini / is there a flavor of zucchini?
Well, there is, but there is the flavor of zucchini, and most of the good part of the zucchini flavor is in the skin, which is why, you know, gardeners are really the lucky people because they can pick those zucchini when they're still really small and the skin to flesh ratio is really high. And it's lovely when you can get a bit of a char on it, whether you're griddling it or grilling it and something. It takes very kindly to that. And actually, the texture is very nice, too. The thing is with the inside, like all squash, really, it's got those seeds and they can become quite rustic tasting in not necessarily the nicest possible way. So, you know, if they get big, they start to taste a bit like rainwater that you might have collected in your in your water butt. So it's quite subtle. So, of course, I think one of the obvious ways of one of the ways that you might learn to cook zucchini if you do garden is to make the Marcella Hazan zucchini fries with garlic, because obviously the garlic kind of takes away any of that slight rustic taste. But zucchini fries, I mean, I'm not terribly sure anyone could ever get bored of them. But if you do, the thing to do is probably go to the cheesemonger. And, you know, courgette and cheese, there's so many different ways that you can cook them together. But my favorite, and I do like to practice my souffle skills, but courgette and cheese makes a really great souffle.
What are some cheeses that taste, you think, particularly good with zucchini? Because we also have, in addition to maple syrup, some cheese here in Wisconsin.
Sorry, what's that?
What kind of cheeses pair well with zucchini?
Well, obviously, Wisconsin cheeses pair really well. I think I've been to Wisconsin, and I believe people wear cheese on their heads.
They do.
Often we would be making something like a souffle, then you're going to want something that's like a Gruyere, maybe teased up a bit with some Parmesan, but you can definitely use cheddar in the same place. But, Gruyere would be the absolute ideal in that case. But you may know of a famous Greek dish called spanakopita, which is a mixture of spinach and feta in phyllo pastry. Well, courgettes can stand in for the spinach. So it's a lovely kind of mixture of sliced courgettes and crumbled feta with lots of buttery phyllo. It makes a beautiful pie. A really great meal, a really great supper with a glass of wine. You could make them into courgette fritters, but use chickpea flour instead of like ordinary plain flour. And that way you get kind of quite a, get a slightly rougher texture, but you also get a slightly sulfurous taste. It's a very pleasant taste with vegetables. I don't know what you call it there. We call it besan here sometimes, which is like the Indian name for it.
I want to get into one more combo that's in your book, and we'll stay with the cheese theme here. Cheese goes well with raisins, you say. Could you talk about using raisins and cheese together as a combo?
Well, I don't know if you do, given that you have quite a strong cheese culture, but here we really like to pair cheese, hard, tangy cheeses, with all sorts of fruitcakes. So I don't know if the culture of regifting fruitcake is quite the same in the States, but people don't tend to get very excited about a fruitcake
right,
at Christmas like they used to. But keep it, cut it into slices and eat it with cheese. It's an old tradition in the north of England, and it's absolutely fantastic. Probably because if you think about a lot of the flavors that you get in raisins and in dried fruit are very similar to the flavors that you'll find in something like a Shiraz, a Syrah, a Cote de Rhone, that kind of wine. So you get all those lovely vinous, rich, deep flavors and tannins as well in the dried fruit that work really well with the cheese because they soften up the cheese and the cheese softens up the fruit and they just have that lovely kind of reciprocal agreement.
Fantastic. Nikki, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me. And I will be trying chocolate and apple juice.
Excellent. That's Nikki Segnet, author of Lateral Cooking and the Flavor Thesaurus. We've been talking about her latest book. It's called The Flavor Thesaurus, More Flavors, Plant-Led Pairings, Recipes, and Ideas for Cooks. You can keep sharing your favorite combos on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We heard from Jacqueline there who says cinnamon rolls with chili. Ooh, I've seen that. And we heard from Greg in Duluth who says chili powder, not store-bought, and some homemade applesauce. Lots of people have their own cool combinations. Keep sharing yours on the Ideas Network Facebook page.